We spoke about the two directions of evolution. From the standpoint of reality, first there is the absolute, after consciousness, and after all the rest. But from the standpoint of the dimension of forgetfulness, first there is unconsciousness, after the subconscious, after the observer, and so forth. When an Advaita master of a higher degree would say that everything is consciousness, this is his experience, because he is seeing reality from the correct place. But if the follower of Advaita is saying it, it is a lie, because this is not his experience. It is just the observer that is claiming the concept that everything is consciousness. The line between subconsciousness and unconsciousness is not always clear. If we look at different life forms, because subconsciousness can be very subconscious or less subconscious. It can be so subconscious that we cannot trace any sense of me. In this dimension, the physical representation of the channel for consciousness is the nervous system and brain. For instance, the creatures which are lower evolved do not have a brain. They have only nervous system, like a worm, for instance. And these life forms that have already developed some kind of a sense of me, which is less subconscious, they have brains, meaning they have heads. If you look at different animals, insects, they have already developed the brain. But the brain can develop to different degrees. We as human beings have very sophisticated brains. Different layers have developed upon the original brain. Meaning our brain is an instrument that can allow us to realize our true self, highly sophisticated. An interesting question is how subconscious can exist without consciousness, how it can actually survive in creation if it's disconnected from its foundation. It is a similar question, how the observer can survive without having the foundation of the conscious me. They simply can. The subconscious is endowed with the ability to survive in the plane of unconsciousness. But survival is not enough. Survival is the bare minimum. What is the use of survival if one is suffering, living in agony, disconnected from light? As we become more conscious, we begin to realize that to live is not enough for our life to be dignified. We need to become real and awaken our spiritual potential to embody our true self. The two directions of evolution signify that not only we are reaching our true self, but based on our true self, we are transforming the relative layers of our existence so we can become complete. That which is the furthest, the most far from our essence, is a thought. That which people experience as their mind. Why it is the furthest? Because a thought is a combination of information and the sense of me. The sense of me cannot go any further. It ends by meeting this information. The thinker, whether conscious or subconscious, is the furthest place to which our me can reach. After me is no more. It is the furthest place in creation from our angle of perception, the thought. the tool through which we recognize existence as something external, as something objective, as something spacious, the tool of duality. Which is the basic dynamic of existence. It's very interesting to look at our evolution from this standpoint of that me which is identified with thoughts, how it gradually becomes conscious of itself and awakens the deeper dimensions of itself and awakens its connection to the source of creation. This movement of receding, of tracing our steps back towards our origin. In the process of becoming whole, none of the functions of the me are being eliminated. Neither the mind is eliminated. But based on our awakening to our fundamental nature, each of these functions, each of aspect of me becomes transformed. Meaning that even if we reach absorption in our fundamental consciousness, that part of us which was once the thinker is still retained. It is simply changed. It becomes aligned with reality. However, for that part to fully transform, the chain of identity has to be established, because pure consciousness alone will not transform the thinker. There is no bridge between, direct bridge between pure consciousness and the thinker. Pure consciousness has to go through the conscious me. To reach out to the observer and to pull it back. The chain of identity is the thinker or the observer, conscious me, pure attention, pure me, and I am. The foundation of that chain is pure me and the conscious me. These are the two pillars of complete consciousness. If they are properly embodied, all the rest naturally falls into the right place. As the conscious me is looking in two directions, towards the soul and towards the mind or the world, so there are two dimensions of intelligence. Pure intelligence and transparent intelligence. Intelligence becomes transparent when the sense of me based on the observer is fully fused with our fundamental nature, meaning the observer cannot create a separate center in the mind and becomes transparent. Transparent observer operates within transparent intelligence, intelligence which has no center, which is contained within the holistic consciousness of the soul. The inner intelligence, pure intelligence, is the feeling intelligence. It is using still subtle thought, but it does not go through the observer. It is intelligence of surrender, intelligence of I am. Transparent intelligence is still employing concepts, is using discrimination. It is like the second level or layer of intelligence, which is more external to I am, but is also contained within our pure nature. Pure intelligence is not using concepts. However, pure intelligence is also connected to the transparent intelligence. It receives support from the transparent intelligence, through which it can create the correct discrimination. For instance, in the process of surrender to I am, pure intelligence is naturally involved. But in order to verify the depth of surrender, it needs to use the transparent intelligence. Transparent intelligence is like a second opinion. Because it is more external to our essence, it has the distance in which it can create different kind of understanding, a higher perspective, so to speak, upon what is happening inside. It's good to contemplate the difference between transparent intelligence and the mind. How do you know whether what you experience is transparent intelligence or the ordinary mind? Before you even check the quality of your intelligence, you need to check the quality, the position of the observer. How does the observer experience itself? Because this will determine the quality of intelligence. Transparent intelligence is experienced in the state of surrender. Surrender is balancing, bringing the ultimate equilibrium to the faculty of thought. So each thought as it arises, it is being dissolved. There's a balance between creation of thoughts and their dissolution. If one is even deeper contemplating transparent intelligence, one can observe that each thought in that intelligence is actually in the state of surrender. Each thought is directly experiencing surrender, which basically means that the sense of me connected to these thoughts is experiencing surrender. So the mind in surrender is intelligence. It does not mean that thoughts have been eliminated. The beauty of it is that they are being naturally expressed, and yet as they are being expressed, they have consciousness of surrender embedded in them. This is the place where we realize our mind as condition of bliss. That which was the furthest from our pure nature, which is thought, finally is being included in the bliss of our complete consciousness. And this is where you realize that nothing that you experience in your consciousness is not you. Everything is you. Nothing is foreign.